In 1973, with a bang of a gavel, seven men in black robes decreed abortion on demand in the Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade and its companion of the same day, Doe v. Bolton. Today, nearly a half century later, the Supreme Court may possibly overturn Roe, and this has the left hopping mad and quite frantic. The case that could overturn Roe comes from Mississippi, and it's called Dobbs v. Jackson. Mary Zoch, that's spelled S-Z-O-C-H, of the Family Research Council, serves as their director of the Center for Human Dignity. This is Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Mary Zoch now joins us to discuss the Supreme Court and abortion. Mary, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, first of all, is it unprecedented for a Supreme Court decision to be overturned by a later Supreme Court?
Well, it's not. And in fact, in the oral arguments and in a number of the amicus briefs in Dobbs, we heard the Supreme Court, we heard petitioners arguing that the Supreme Court should, in fact, overturn Roe v. Wade, because this is exactly the type of decision that demands that the court do such.
What are your thoughts on Roe v. Wade as a legal decision, Mary?
Well, I think, you know, even those on the far left will acknowledge that Roe was wrong in its decision, that the Supreme Court was wrong in their broad sweeping overturn of nearly every pro-life protection in the country. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg talked about the fact that Roe was wrongfully decided. She said it took the ball out of the legislators' court. Now, there is debate as to whether or not an unborn child is constitutionally protected, whether the 14th Amendment protects an unborn child as a person under the law. And we've seen, especially in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, a number of amicus briefs pointing to the fact that an unborn child should be protected constitutionally. That's up for debate. What most people are willing to acknowledge is that there is not a right to an abortion anywhere within the Constitution, and that Roe v. Wade, in establishing this right, basically just made up something new, that they made up something that usurped the ability of states to protect their unborn citizens.
And how about a comment on the fact that this decision, or at least an early version of it, was leaked on May 2nd of 2022, and that's caused really quite a furor in the wake of that leak?
It really has. It's put the lives of the Supreme Court justices in jeopardy. It's put the work of the pro-life movement in jeopardy. There have been a number of pregnancy resource centers that have been attacked since that leaked decision. And we've seen that the left has responded to Justice Alito's draft decision, which in my opinion was an excellent draft. They have responded to that with violence. And this shouldn't come as a shock to us, because that has been the left's response to uncertainty in their future since 1973, at which point they decided that a woman facing an unexpected pregnancy should consider and allow the violence of abortion to take place in her womb.
As far as the protests in front of the homes, you know, of the Supreme Court justices, is that legal?
Well, it is not legal to protest in such a way whereas you are attempting to influence the decision of a pending Supreme Court case.
And you would think, you would think that's the whole purpose of those protests, is change your vote. Barrett,
exactly.
You know, don't rule this way, Kavanaugh, or we'll kill you, you know.
Exactly. Especially since they're targeting specific justices. I just saw that they're protesting in front of Amy Barrett's house. Amy Barrett has seven children. You know, that is purely an act of intimidation.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable. And they're not by the way, they're not protesting in front of Sotomayor's house that I know of, nor why should they? I mean, she's totally in their court. I mean, she agrees with abortion. Let's put it that way. You know, it's such an amazing thing. Abortion is such a divisive topic for it to have been taken out of the hands of the American people and just decided by seven justices in 1973. I think that's part of what's created all this furor in the first place and all the division related to abortion in America.
I think that that is part of it. I think that the other part of it is that abortion causes such a deep wound. And I think that what we're seeing today is a reaction to that wound. A lot of people are acting out of pain. And we see that on their faces as they scream about the need for the right to an abortion, as they you know, carry around bloody babies and shout that, yes, I want to shout my abortion. That's not what someone who is at peace with a decision does. That's someone who's in a lot of pain and who quite honestly knows that what they did was wrong.
We are recording this discussion on the 20th of June, 2022. And the reason I put a timestamp on this is because Dobbs v. Jackson has not yet come down from the Supreme Court. If it does come down along the lines of the leaked memo, then it would mean, in effect, that Roe v. Wade would be overturned. So go ahead and comment on what that would mean. Let's suppose, you know, again, the Alito memo is essentially the decision that is released and agreed upon by the Supreme Court. Then what happens?
Well, if the Alito draft is what is in fact the holding decision, then what we'll see in the United States is a checkerboard of states where unborn lives are protected and states where unborn lives are in danger, and where mothers are in danger. We've already seen states like California and New York proclaiming that they'll be a quote-unquote sanctuary for abortion. That is such an ironic term, but that is what their governors have said that they will be doing. And of course, we've seen in the state of Texas that unborn lives there are protected, that their percentage of abortions has decreased significantly since the life-saving Texas Heartbeat Act went into effect. So I think around the country, we'll see states protecting life and we'll see abortion rates decreasing in those states. But in the states that have sworn their allegiance to abortion, unfortunately, we will see unborn children attacked in ways that we've never seen before, with states doing everything possible to abet abortion access.
Mm. As far as Dobbs is concerned, the Mississippi law in question, was that a heartbeat law as well, or I'm not sure?
In Mississippi, it was the Gestational Age Act, which was a 15-week pro-life protection for babies who are developed to 15 weeks and beyond that point. And at that point, the unborn child, you know, most of us have seen a sonogram of a 15-week-old unborn child. There's no question that unborn child is a human being. You can see the fingers, the toes, the eyes, the nose, and the mouth. That child can feel pain. That child can probably feel pain at a much earlier stage as well, but undoubtedly at 15 weeks. And so the people of Mississippi wanted to pass this law protecting unborn children. And the pro-abortion movement simply could not stand for that.
Mm. You know, it's interesting you mentioned 15 weeks, because I know that in the case of Abby Johnson, who used to be she was the employee of the year for Planned Parenthood. She managed a small clinic for Planned Parenthood in Texas, in the greater Houston area. She saw a sonogram of an abortion at her own clinic, for which she served as the manager, and that abortion was of a 15-week-old baby boy. And when she saw that sonogram, she walked out of the room and said, I can never participate in this again. And then, you know, today, fast forward, she's pro-life. She's written the book Unplanned. They made a movie out of it. And she even has a ministry to help people come out of that industry, which is not an easy thing to do, to transition to other jobs. And the name of her new ministry is called And Then There Were None. But isn't that a fascinating story? But that's all because she saw a 15-week child being aborted. Now, the Biden administration said, suppose the Supreme Court does rule to overturn Roe v. Wade. Did he say something to the effect of he wants to call it a national emergency?
He did. He said that he wanted to use his executive power to basically to attack unborn children in the womb. And this is an extreme overreach. The fact that, you know, the Supreme Court was established as a separate branch of government from the judiciary and from the executive branch. And the fact that he would be using executive power to infringe upon the ability of the Supreme Court to do their jobs independent of him, that is just, it's really something. But it comes as no surprise from the Biden administration that clearly has no respect for the Constitution, that has no respect for the American people or their values, and certainly has no respect for the unborn.
How about a comment about the crisis pregnancy centers? You mentioned it earlier, but the fact that they're being attacked. There have been about 59, at least, as of the time of this recording, where they've been attacked, in some cases even firebombed. What are crisis pregnancy centers, and why are they being so viciously maligned at this time?
These centers are places where women and men who are in need, who have found out that they're unexpectedly pregnant, or who already have children.
The men find out that their girlfriends or their wives are unexpectedly pregnant.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, yeah. Only women can become pregnant. But when men find out that their wife is unexpectedly pregnant, or a woman finds out that she is unexpectedly pregnant and they're in need, they can visit these centers and they can receive all kinds of support from them, whether it be material support in the form of diapers and formula and baby clothes or cribs or car seats, or spiritual help in the form of prayer and mentorship, or support in getting additional resources for things like WIC. These organizations are willing to do whatever it takes to help moms in need. I know I heard a story of one woman who runs a pregnancy resource center in Ohio who talked about being at a meeting with someone from Planned Parenthood. And the woman from Planned Parenthood said, "It's my job to help women achieve their dreams by providing them access to abortion so that they can go on and finish college and have a career." And the woman from the Pregnancy Resource Center said, "It's my job to help women achieve their dream alongside their child. And I do that in such a way that it empowers the woman to do anything that she wants to do." That's what pregnancy resource centers do.
FRC.org for more information. We have 30 seconds to wrap up with Mary Zoch, S-Z-O-C-H. How about a comment about the fact that the founders of America said that our rights come from the Creator, and the first one listed was the right to life?
Absolutely. And the right to life is a beautiful gift from God. Each unborn child is a beautiful person made in the image and likeness of God. And that person will leave an imprint on this world like no one else will. And we need to do everything that we can to protect those lives.
Mary Zoch, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks so much, Jerry.